much of hardcover Bible. My senior pastor will say, have you got your three fingers hooked? But these days, we don't have fingers hooked. All right. Let's begin reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And lastly, Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I'm speaking to you tonight on the faith walk invites adversity. The faith walk invites adversity. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we bless you for your presence here. We thank you for your people that are here. We thank you for your word that you've given us to share. I ask, Father God, that let all the excellency that will come forth be all of you and none of mine. Or think through my mind and speak through my lips. And speak a word in season for somebody's benefit and somebody's profiting, somebody's encouragement, somebody's healing, somebody's deliverance in the name of Jesus. And at the end of it all, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise for all that shall be said and done in Jesus' name. And let the church say amen. When it comes to times like this, one must, you know, really look to God to find out what exactly, what direction should go in teaching on faith. Because there's a lot one can teach, there's a lot one can bring across. And it's impressed upon my heart to just go in this direction. That the faith walk invites adversity. And then the Bible says that he that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so that is just, you know, there. But as a believer, you invite persecution. But more than that also, I've come to recognize that, you know, deciding to live by faith, it's not the norm. It's not the usual thing. It's not what everybody wants to do. But the truth of the matter, that's the life that you and I have been invited to live. That if you want to truly be a believer that will make his mark before God, you have to answer to that call. Why? Because more than once in scripture, four times in particular, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk chapter 3, the just shall live by his faith. Hebrews chapter 10, the just shall live by faith. Galatians, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, the just shall live by faith. And so once you sign up to be the just, then you should accept that this is the way to go. Once you sign up to be the just, once you sign up to be a child of God, you have signed up to this life. But I've come to recognize that it's one thing to be a believer. It's another thing for someone to actually decide you're going to go this route and live your life. But one thing is also clear. Once you have chosen to lead this life, understand that you are in for a fight. There is a fight of faith. Why is there going to be a fight? Why is it that it invites adversity? Because faith is not the normal way of living. It's not. For the unregenerate soul, faith is not the normal way of living. Man lives by his senses. Man lives by his calculation. Man lives by his logic. That's the way man lives. And faith is not calculation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Living by faith goes against the current. It's like trying to swim upstream. That's what it is. And you know that if you want to swim against the current of the river, you've got a fight on your hands. Is that not so? Those of you who swim. I said those of you who swim because I don't. If you want to swim against the current of the river, you've got a fight on your hands. And living by faith is swimming against the current of the river. That's what it is. And it's not an easy thing to swim against. You can do it, but it's not the easiest thing to do. And if you don't have enough strength, then God help you. If the force of the current is so strong, it's stronger than you have the ability to, you know, to counter it, then you are gone. That is what living by faith. It is swimming against the current. Now, why are we going this route in this conference? And this is what I believe I heard the Spirit of God, you know, in settling my spirit on this. That it looks to like when God's children come face to face with trouble, some people act surprised. Why this? Why me? Why should I be facing this? In other words, you make an attempt at, you know, doing something in life, and then oppositions arise. Difficulties come up. And people act as though it's because you are now a child of God, because you've given your life to Christ, this shouldn't be happening to me. Have you heard somebody say that? This shouldn't be happening to me. I've heard somebody say that. This shouldn't be happening to me. I have kept myself. I didn't mess myself up. And I'm married as a virgin. This shouldn't be happening to me that I don't have a child. This shouldn't be happening to me. I have studied hard for the exam. I didn't cheat. This shouldn't be happening to me that I'm failing. this shouldn't be happening to me. Maybe you have not said it. Maybe somebody around you said it. But when you hear that, it looks like it means people are surprised. It should be happening to somebody else. It should be happening to that person who didn't, you know, who is not serving God as I am serving God. It should be happening to that person who, you know, who, I mean, but you are not the first person to say that. When you read Psalm 73, David looked at the unrighteous and looked at their prosperity, and he was moved. So I believe the Spirit of God would like me to show some things out to you. That yes, you've chosen to live by faith. And in choosing to live by faith, you've attracted something. But whether you have attracted something or not, it should not disturb you. Because you have been fashioned out, not just to fight the fight, but to have a good report at the end of it. I thought somebody would shout hallelujah. Amen. That's it. That yes, you are going to be involved in a fight. Yes, you're going to face adversity. Yes, your living by faith means that, you know, opposition will arise. Your flesh will rise up against it. Such situations will rise up against it. But yes, this will happen. But like Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so if it should not be, this should not be happening to me, you should say, come on, bring it on. Because you've got what it takes in Christ Jesus and in the faith of God that He has put in you, not just only to face this, but to overcome it and to make it a stepping stone to a higher life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is what it's all about. This is what it's here. So it says to you. So let's look at these scriptures that, you know, that is put before us. In fact, I begin with the famous faith scripture. And I think if you look at the, you know, the Bible, that's our introduction to faith from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. That's the very first place we see the Master make mention of the word faith and say, you know, try to teach us something about it. And as the Spirit of God brought this attention, and I wondered how we've not seen it in that perspective. This way. Look at what it says there. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, do what? Be thou removed. What does that tell you? First and foremost, what you come face to face with is something standing in your way. After he's saying, have faith in God, the very next thing you hear him say, for whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. That tells you up front, there is opposition. There is something standing in your way to tell you you're not getting there. You're not going to move forward. There is something standing in your way. Because it says, have faith in God. And the very next thing it says, whosoever shall say to this mountain. You see, When you look at the context of what happened there, what you see is that he had just finished cursing a fig tree and upon which he wanted to take a fruit, and he did not, you know, see fruit to eat. And the disciples, the master, and then afterwards, after he cursed it, the fig tree died, and the master, you know, the people pointed his attention and said, "Master, the fig tree whom you cursed is dead." And then he says, "Whosoever shall say to this mountain." They didn't mention mountain in their conversation with him. Their attention was on the fig tree. But the very first introduction of him teaching them a faith has to do with them dealing with an opposition, has to do with them dealing with an adversity, has to do with them dealing with something that is standing in their way to say that you're not going to where you want to go to, you're not going to get to where you want to get to, you're not going to be where you want to be. "Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt." That's your first introduction to faith from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. That there is an adversity. There is an opposition. There is something attempting to tell you you are not going to be what God says you are going to be. There is something attempting to tell you you won't get to where God says you will get to. There is something attempting to tell you you will not have what God says you are going to have. Whosoever, it's this mountain, it's this problem, it's this adversity, it's this opposition. There is something trying to tell you you're not going to get there. That's from the lips of our Master Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is our very first introduction to faith from his lips. That is why, when you see this, you get to understand that faith brings you face to face to confront situations and circumstances that wants to tell you you're not going to go to where God says you get. You're not going to have the best of God. And it comes in different forms. It comes in different attacks. It comes in different ways. And so when it comes to you, child of God, don't act surprised. Don't begin to think God has forsaken you. Don't begin to think that God is nowhere to be found anymore. It comes with the terrain. Tell your neighbor, it comes with the terrain. It comes with the terrain of living by faith. It comes with the terrain. So let's do away in fact that Mark 11:23. You know, I have two phrases I used to I symbolize it with. Or I say faith is for. One is saying something, get out of my way. One is saying something, come my way. The first is get out of my way first, so that I can become all that God wants me to become. Hallelujah. So now for Mark 11:23, that's all we see. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at there. What is there? So for Mark 11:23, we see that there is something trying to tell us, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to arrive at there. I'm not going to move forward, because when you have a mountain before you, your pathway is blocked. You can make progress. You can move forward. But then in 1 Peter chapter 5, we see another dimension to this. Another aspect of this thing. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now watch this. Knowing that what? The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren where? So you are not the only one. There are others like you. Amen. There are others like you. But my point here is this. In Mark 11:23, what we see is something standing before us. In 1 Peter, what we see is that it's not that something is standing before you, it's that there is an enemy going around trying to eat you for supper. In other words, you're going about your business. You're going about what you want, your business of the day. You're going about your life. And yet something is around, or someone is around, who say, I'm looking around, who I'm going to eat for supper? Your adversary, he calls it. So this one is not that he's putting something before my pathway to hinder me. He just wants to kill me. He wants to put me out of the picture. Your adversary, the devil, is going around. So what does he say? He said, whom resist thou? Steadfast in the faith. That means that for this case, what I've got faith for is to what? Resist. Somebody say to resist. I've got it to resist. This means this. And this is what I think I mentioned of this sometime in church. That the faith life tells me I can say no. I have the ability to say no. With the faith of God in my life, I can say no. Because this womb resists steadfast, what? In the faith. So I can say no. Though he may be going around looking for who to devour, it's not coming near me. Hallelujah. But it tells me there's an adversary. It tells me there's an adversary who is going around. And guess what? He's going around looking for who to devour. And that is everybody. But particularly those of the household of faith. But my Bible tells me I can say no. Someone say I can say no. I can resist him. I can say you are not having me. I can say you are not putting that sickness on me. I can say you are not putting that disease on me. I can say you are not shutting down my life. I can say you are not killing me prematurely. I can say no. Someone say, I can say no. That's what faith is for. That though there's an so listen to me. You have to acknowledge that there's an adversary going around. Faith does not deny the adversary. Faith acknowledges there's an adversary. But faith tells the adversary, no. Glory be to God. Faith tells the adversary, no. You may be going around, you may have the ability to devour, but you are not devouring me. You are not devouring my family. You are not devouring my husband. You are not devouring my wife. You are not devouring my child. faith gives me the ability to say no. I can say no. I can say no. I can say no. It says there is an adversary. And you must live your life with that understanding that there is an adversary. So when the adversary raises up smoke around your life, that doesn't mean that he has had you for supper. That doesn't mean it's over. It is just the adversary doing what he's called to do, to be an adversary. Are you listening? That's all. But with the faith of God in you, it is for you to say no. And you can say no. It says, whom do what? Resist steadfast in the faith. I can say no to the devil. I can say no to his actions. I can say no to what he wants to do. I can say no. Someone say, I can say no. I can say no. That's what God puts his faith in me for. To be able to say no to the devil. To say no to his actions. To say no to what he wants to do. I can say no. So, when he brings his stuff, I'm not to be surprised, because I already know there is an adversary. Amen? I'm not to begin to, you know, cry tears and say, why me now? If it's not you, who else? Do you wish it on your neighbor? Should you wish it on your neighbor as a believer? No. So you can say no, because the faith of God is in you. Someone say, I can say no. That's why we've got it. That's why God put it in you. And it's foolhardy to live life and act as though there's no adversary around. There is an adversary around. Amen. There is what? An adversary around. And like I said, when you choose to live by faith, you should just automatically know you are going against the current. There will be opposition to the life you want to live, to the expectation you have from God. There will be an opposition. And to take you out of that, when you have this understanding, it makes the whole thing easier for you to leave and to do what you need to do so that you have the end result that God says you should have. And what is that end result? Go to the first text that we have, 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Why is it a good fight? It's a good fight because you will win at the end. It's a good fight because it will end with a good report. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, you know, the elders by it, the elders did what? Obtained a good report. You obtain a good report when the fight ends well for you. Is that not so? That's when you obtain a good report. That's when you obtain a good report, because the fight ends well. It ends in your favor. Hallelujah. Now, I think God had a purpose, believe he had a purpose in giving us the heroes of Hebrews 11. And when you go through the Hebrews 11, There is no situation there you can study out and see that, okay, this person had it easy in life. Every one of them had something that they had to use their faith against. So go and look at Hebrews 11 critically. But particularly, I want to bring us to this point, because he ended that discourse of Hebrews 11 on our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to end. Because you will see clearly that God is using that to tell you and me that this thing we are in invites trouble. And because it invites trouble, you should understand that, but not only does it invite trouble, that you have what it takes to win in this trouble. And when it comes to you, you should not be crying, you should not be complaining, and you should be, you know, whining and say, oh, why is it me? Why is it me? And the question again is, do you want it on somebody else? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm told my time is up. All right. We'll pick it up some other time. But let's round it up on this. I'll go to Hebrews 12. Maybe that's what I'll probably do tomorrow then. In James chapter 1, it gives you the idea that when these things come at you, you're not to act surprised. Is that not so? Let's have James chapter 1, and I close with this. James in chapter 1. Verse 2 and 3. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it what? When you fall into what? Because you cannot do this if you don't have the understanding that we're talking about. That I have chosen to live by faith, I should get myself ready for trouble. That I have chosen to live by faith, I should understand that an adversary that is looking up for me to devour. That I've chosen to live by faith, I should understand there is something that may want to tell me you are not going there. And so he says, my brother, count it. When you have this understanding, that's when you can do this. But if you don't have the understanding, when diverse troubles and trials come, what you will be doing, you'll be complaining. You'll be murmuring. You'll be saying, why me now? Why me now? Why me? Why? If it's not you, who else? And like Peter told us, he says, knowing that the same affliction in what is accomplished in all your breath, in your brethren, all over the earth. So he says, my brethren, count it. If you are to count it, that means that it is not so. Count it what? All joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, count it so. And that is what you're supposed to do. And that is how you're supposed to fight this fight of faith. That when things come, you receive them. This is difficult to say, but that's the way it is. You receive it with joy. Yeah. When the trials come, when the afflictions come, when the persecutions come, when the adversary come, he says, count it as joy. Welcome joy. Hello. Welcome And then you begin to release yourself in praise, in thanksgiving, in rejoicing. Not that you thank God that, you know, you just lost your job. Not that you thank God that, you know, a door was shut in your face. But you say, Lord, I thank you anyhow that, yes, this has happened, but I come to you with thanksgiving. I come to you with praise. I come to you with rejoicing. You said, I should count it joy, and I therefore count this joyful. And I rejoice in this. Amen? Let me land you on that. Let me stop you on that and stop here for today. But tomorrow I want to introduce you to what about Jesus as far as this is concerned. And we will see further on it. But tonight, just catch this understanding. And it's not something to make you to be afraid to live this faith life, but something to prepare you to make you to understand. Because even the times we are in are telling us times are going to get tougher. So what does the child of God do? Do you go and hide your head? No. You have this understanding that you are well able to handle what is coming because of the faith of God that is put on the inside of you. In the name of Jesus. Can you lift your hands and just, you know, thank God? Thank Him. Thank Him. Lord, we give you praise. I trust, Father God, that by your Spirit, Lord, that you establish this in the hearts of the people and grant them understanding.